Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour deflector shield shindig. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City. Broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Dallas to Des Moines, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you, too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage.
Now, wait a minute.
Coming up this morning on the show, how about the GOAT, the greatest of all time, Jerry Rice, a 13-time Pro Bowl, the all-time leading receiver in NFL history, a 3-time Super Bowl champion, and, of course, a first ballot Pro Football Hall of Famer. Jerry Rice is going to join us here on the show coming up about an hour from now. Can't wait for that. NFL 100 with one of the greatest players ever, if not the greatest NFL player ever. I'm in. Jerry Rice coming up next hour. Also, 3-time Pro Bowler, Titans tight end Delanie Walker is going to join us on the show an hour from now. It's also Trash Tuesday, so get us your trashes. We'll be taking out our trash coming up here in about 30 minutes from now. Getting your trashes either by dialing me up at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, easy way to send in your trashes, DA on CBS. Also, we'll project what tonight's first college football playoff rankings will look like. We'll discuss the report that the NFL might be setting up the Chargers for full time in London. And we'll discuss whether Popeyes is really worth getting stabbed for. All of that coming up this morning here on the show.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Or do you? All of that coming up this morning on the show. But we begin with the Monday Nighter last night at MetLife Stadium. The Dallas Cowboys in the middle of the black cat running onto the field. Get a 37-18 win over the Giants. Dak Prescott, 257 yards, 3 touchdowns, an INT, and a fumble as well. But the Giants shot themselves in the foot enough, and the Dallas Cowboys are good enough to run away with that victory when the final gun sounded. But let me just read this quote to you from Dak Prescott following the game. Prescott, quote, "You saw the game. Those guys weren't beating us. It was us getting in our own damn way. When we're rolling and doing what we do, there isn't a team in the bleeping league that can step us, that can stop us. We just need to do what we did in the Eagles game when we dominated from the opening snap because we didn't commit no stupid turnovers or make any mistakes. We just took care of our own business and pounded them." End of quote. This is from USA Today. Last night, the Dallas Cowboys are supposed to win. They're supposed to win. The Giants' season is lost. They're starting a rookie quarterback. Their head coach is in over his head. And the Giants are a bad football team, and the Dallas Cowboys are not. And earlier in the season, I proclaimed the Dallas Cowboys a Super Bowl contender. I think they have that type of talent. I think the Dallas Cowboys have the type of talent that can win games in the playoffs. I don't know about their head coach, and I don't know about their execution when they get to those games, but they have the type of talent that it takes to win those games in January. But I got to tell you, I see a quote like that from Dak, and I like Dak. And I just shake my head, and I go, the Cowboys still don't get it. They still don't get it. Because the Dallas Cowboys can't win ugly games like yesterday when the Giants commit a whole rash of their own mistakes and bog down in the red zone. And you can't beat up on the terrible teams of the NFL and then proclaim, oh, nobody in the league can stop us when we're rolling. Nobody. And, oh man, as long as we don't commit any mistakes, we'll be fine. But what happens if you commit mistakes constantly? I think the Dallas Cowboys think they're better than they are. And it's where we begin. Your cold open.
First and 10, 22 seconds left. Jones is back, looks, hit, ball's up in the air and lands incomplete. Flag is down. And it's a fumble, and it's picked up by Dallas. Coming left, running down the sideline to the five, Jordan Lewis with a fumble that he's run into the end zone.
We've got a great team, a lot of great guys in this offense. Obviously a great defense that holds those guys down, that allows us to go out there and just score more points. It's a good team on the other side. It was a great game.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was Brad Sham, Cowboys Radio. That was Dak Prescott after the game. I don't trust this Cowboys team to get it either, because I think all we always hear from the Cowboys is how good they are, how good they think they are, how their owner thinks they're that great, and how their coach is not that great. Last night, the Cowboys begin the night with Dak Prescott throwing an interception on the first play of the game, which sets up the Giants at the 8. First and goal from the 8, and the Giants didn't have to do anything to get there. They settle for a field goal. Again, in the first half, the Giants inside the red zone settle for a field goal. At the end of the first half, Daniel Jones throws a pop fly. Intercepted. Cowboys get points out of it. Late in the game, Dak Prescott hits Amari Cooper in a 45-yard touchdown. Antoine Bethea is essentially playing please don't make me touch you defense. Allergic to human interaction defense. Amari Cooper skates in untouched. Hard to go 45 yards in the NFL untouched for a touchdown. The Dallas Cowboys committed 10, count them, 10 penalties in the game. And they're going to sit here and say, when we're rolling, nobody can beat us. The Dallas Cowboys have 5 wins on the season. 5. 4 of them have come against the Giants, the Jets, and the Dolphins. The Dallas Cowboys lost to the Jets. Let's go ahead and think about that for a second, everybody. The Jets just lost to the Dolphins, and they beat the Cowboys. I'm sorry. I don't want to hear it from Dak Prescott that, oh, when we're rolling, we're the best team in football. Nobody can stop us. Blah, blah, blah. No way. Do they have the talent to be one of the best teams in football? Sure. But don't sell yourselves that high, okay? Let's face it. That's not a good win last night. The Giants are a bad team that will finish this season 3-13 or 4-12 with a rookie quarterback that shot itself in the foot a million times. And you're going to beat your chest and say, oh, when we're rolling, we're the best team in football. And that's all you hear from Jerry Jones and that locker room. And I don't trust Jason Garrett as far as I can throw him. On the sideline against Pat Shurmur, he ends up looking like Vince Lombardi. But that's not a great Cowboys win. They got one really good win this season against the Eagles, and that was a top-to-bottom win. But you got to do that more than 1 week before you start crowing about, oh, we're fine. As long as we don't beat ourselves, we're fine. Well, that's part of it, by the way. That's part of it. Playing up to your capabilities and remaining focused. And does anybody trust this team to do so when it really matters against what is shaping up to be one of the deepest and best NFCs in years? The Dallas Cowboys should not come out of that game last night and feel good about themselves. They should say, we played crummy and still won. That's that. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Touchdown by Michael Gallup, great. Ezekiel Elliott still runs really well and hard when it matters. Amari Cooper slithers out of coverage. The offensive line dominated the Giants defense certainly many times, but the Giants defense is a disaster. A disaster. So feeling good about all of those things, you know, do it against the Saints? Oh, that's right. Couldn't do it against the Saints. Tonight we'll have the first college football playoff rankings of the year. And obviously a ton is going to change in those rankings from now until the end of December. So it's not hugely important tonight where everybody sits. If you're a Clemson fan and you're outside of the top four, don't worry. Because when the dust settles, if you're an undefeated defending national champion, you're going to the college football playoff. But I think the interesting thing here tonight is where does the committee slot Oklahoma and the two Pac-12 teams? Where do they slot those three? Because then that gives us a sense of who could grab number four. My guess is LSU is going to be number one of these rankings. I think tonight they're going to put LSU number one, and deservedly so. LSU has far more quality wins than Alabama does at this point in time, and I think the committee looks at Bama and LSU as the two best teams of the country, and I think tonight's rankings will reflect that. I think Ohio State's going to be number three, and then we have to worry or wait, not worry, but where number four is, who number four is. And is number four going to be undefeated Clemson? I doubt it because they haven't beaten anybody. The Texas A&M wins their best win. Are they going to reward Oregon at one loss? Are they going to reward Utah with one loss? Are they going to reward Oklahoma with one loss? Who has the best one loss? Out of those three teams, it's definitely Oregon, having lost to Auburn. Although that was a neutral site game. But that's definitely the best loss out of those. That's the question tonight. Because then it gives us the sense of where the committee stands on the power of the Pac-12 one-loss teams and where they look at Clemson. Although I don't ultimately think that that's going to be a finality. Because as long as Clemson wins all of its games, it's going to the college football playoff. But interesting to see where they place them today and where they place Oklahoma having a loss against an unranked Kansas State team 2 weeks ago. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. We'll jump into your phone calls coming up here next on last night's Monday Nighter. Also, on last night's Monday Nighter, Pat Shurmur was a disaster again. And my fine, fleshy friend would like to vent. You'll want to stick around. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
I do love the doc. I do.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
21 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And the player of the week brought to you by Grainger. Taking a look, the one who got it done. It's Devin Booker. The Sun star drops 40 last night as the Suns hand the 76ers their first loss of the season, 114-109. It's significant as the Sixers get their first loss as the last remaining unbeaten in the NBA. And the Suns are surprising at 5-2. They're three games over 500 for the first time in more than 4 years. It's best start since 2013. Devin Booker, the eighth youngest player in NBA history to reach 6,000 points. The player of the week brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to the safety industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it, Grainger.com. It's a Trash Tuesday, So send us your trashes. We'll read through those coming up here on the show. We'll do our trashes in about 15 minutes from now. We'll read through your trashes as well, at DA on CBS on Twitter. That's at DA on CBS. Also, you can dial us up at 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Brian's in Scranton, listening on CBS Sports Radio's 590 there. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, DA. So, Dak Prescott, are you kidding me? That San Francisco 49er team defense would just eat you alive.
Yeah, when Dak says nobody in the league can stop us when we're rolling, I agree with you. I mean, you can't sell me that this Cowboys offense is so impossible to stop that the Niners wouldn't have, I don't want to say a field day with them, but I would take the Niners defense absolutely over that Cowboys offense.
I mean, I think, too, also the best part, too, you know, my wife is a Cowboys fan, and, you know, the whole, oh, we're so good, we're going to go to the Super Bowl. Yeah, you have to get past teams like maybe Green Bay or teams like San Francisco's defense. I think they were exposed, you know, and you got to win. It's like the Patriots. You got to beat a good team before you can have the bragging rights.
Yeah, and look, this NFC is going to be a murderer's row in the playoffs. Think about this. You've got this Packers team that obviously didn't look good on Sunday in L.A., but the Packers are 7-2. You have a Saints team that, to me, is the best team in football right now. You've got a Seahawks team that has the MVP of the league right now in Russell Wilson. You have a Niners team that's the last unbeaten and has, if not the best defense of the NFL, one of the best defenses of the NFL. And that's before we get to wild cards. You know, the Cowboys will probably win this division, I think, but they might not because the Philadelphia Eagles have finally figured it out. And then you have the Rams thrown into that mix as well, the Vikings thrown into that mix as well. This is as good an NFC as we've seen in a long time. And again, I like Dak, but when I saw this quote after the game, I said, you got to be kidding me. After a night where you beat up again on a bad NFC East divisional opponent, which they have done time and time again against the Giants and Washington, Prescott says, those guys weren't beating us. It was us getting in our own damn way. When we're rolling and doing what we do, there isn't a team in the bleeping league that can stop us. God, boy. Again, I like Dak, and I like the talent on that team, but you got to win more than one playoff game in 6 years before we start talking about you're the best damn team in the league. And last night, the Giants never make it easy on themselves because they have a head coach and a rookie quarterback that are both inexperienced, and their head coach kind of continually shows that he's in over his head. And Omaraz is super thrilled to have Pat Shurmur on the sidelines coaching his New York Giants. So, Mraz, let's just talk about this here. When you watched this last night, I could tell from your tweets that you were beside yourself. When did your frustration begin last night?
It began at the end of the first half when Pat Shurmur treated a rookie quarterback like he was Dan Marino in his prime and said, now's the time all year I'm going to get aggressive and go down the field, only to have him throw an interception after, I don't know, not knowing how to use Saquon Barkley all freaking half, and suddenly it's 13-12 at the half when it was just 12-3 with about a minute left. Yeah, when you give up two scores in about a minute, that's when I start to become unhinged with the head coach.
What's the most egregious error from Pat Shurmur's long laundry list last night?
How about this? How about that? If you watch the Giants every week and not just Red Zone, this doofus every single week is the leader of these idiot head coaches that think they're going to get a pass interference overturned. Now, that's a separate issue with the NFL that the pass interference should not be challengeable. But how many damn times, how many damn weeks in a row is this guy going to throw a flag on what looks like pretty clear pass interference, knowing that the league is going to overturn it? So out of spite, it's like he's trying to prove something that, oh, look, league, you want to make it, you know, challengeable? I'm going to show you that you're wrong here. How about we need the timeouts down a couple scores for Dallas, Pat? How about, Pat, you realize how important timeouts are, Pat? How about you don't understand that they're not going to overturn this, Pat? I mean, enough's enough. Now, it shouldn't be challengeable, but Shurmur's been completely exposed by this. The guy makes me lose all the rest of my hair and leave my armpits and everywhere else.
Why would any coach right now be challenging pass interference.
Why would you? Unless it's the end of the game and it's your only opportunity. But down two scores in a fourth quarter when you need all your timeouts, you're challenging that?
How many times have they overturned it this year? Maybe once or twice?
I think it's like 12%. But I tell you one thing, that percentage is probably that low because Pat Shurmur challenges it about 15 times already this year and doesn't have any feel for doing it. But he does it. It's like he takes the field all week and says, I'm going to show the league how wrong they are about this pass interference stuff, and I'm going to make sure I prove a point. I don't care how many times I get denied. How about you prove a point and figure out how to coach a team, Pat? Because you have no idea how to run an offensive game plan. This guy got hired because he figured out how to make Case Keenum away from a waffle maker backup quarterback into a guy that went to the NFC Championship game, and he has no idea how to use anybody now. They've been gifted Saquon Barkley. They have a versatile tight end in Evan Ingram, and the guy is basically running hook and ladders with Cody Latimer. He's got no idea how to run an offense. But as if that wasn't enough, you're down 12 points. There is 6 minutes left in the game. If you've watched any football at all the last 2 years, you saw the way the league changed onside kick. You can no longer overload one side. Nobody gets an onside kick anymore. For better or worse, that part of the game sucks. That exciting play is done. If you're down multiple scores with 6 minutes left, you can't think, I'll punt, pull three timeouts, score, onside kick. No. That's out the window. This isn't the NFL in 2000. This isn't the NFL in 1990. Those days are over. On 4th and 16, and it's only 4th and 16 because this idiot has no idea what plays to run to churn up yards. In his own territory, 6 minutes left, he says, punt unit, go out there. We need to punt down 12 with 6 minutes left. Who cares if you have the ball at the 15 and we don't get it and Dallas scores again? The game's over. You concede victory with a punt. Be aggressive. Be aggressive. What are you doing? What are you doing? And you know, Tess and Booger, who are the heads so far up, you know what, can't even criticize the guy, where you're watching it and you're thinking, oh, that's right, you should punt here because you're close to your own territory. No, you shouldn't. Your best opportunity, you should hope you get a pass interference flag or you convert a 4th and 16. You have no shot when you now get the ball back and give him 4 minutes left to score two touchdowns because that would include getting an onside kick at that point. The guy has no grasp of football in the year 2019. And, oh, by the way, are we forgetting? Who hires an ex-Cleveland Browns coach since the Browns have re-existed because that was after Belichick? Well, Rob Chudzinski, is he running around like some kind of genius? Is Eric Mangini get another job? No, he's sitting there next to Dan Orlovsky or whoever on TV. None of these guys pan out. None of them. Come on. And the reason he was hired, for those in New York who don't understand, Dave Gettleman's number one reason for hiring Pat Shurmur was, quote, he was an adult in the room. Cliff Kingsbury acts like a 19-year-old pulling more tail than a zookeeper, and that guy knows how to run an offense. Is he an adult in the room? I don't care if it's a toddler with sidewalk chalk drawing the plays. Know when to challenge or when not. Know when to be aggressive. An adult in the room? Great. The adult in the room is going to get you 2-14 again and ruin Daniel Jones. What a waste. Another wasted year. The worst record since 2017. And that's on Pat Shurmur. And that's on John Mara, who is so concerned with straight cats running all over the field and not how to put together a proper coaching staff. Up till 1 a.m., getting 4 hours of sleep, pregnant wife and all, for this garbage. Come on.
You know, the problem is he can't even figure out how to use Saquon.
No! Saquon's homer or nothing. I can't figure out if Saquon's overrated or Pat Shurmur has no creativity whatsoever. As I just mentioned, Cliff Kingsbury. Kenyon Drake comes off the plane to Miami to play a Thursday night game. He's basically on the bus. Kingsbury hands the guy a couple index cards and says, here's the plays we're going to run for you. The guy's got 40 fantasy points and is breaking a game wide open versus the 49ers defense. And Saquon Barkley's been in the league 2 years. We run one screen to him, we can't figure it out. But hey, here's an end around to a tight end. Great creativity, Pat. Why don't we draft a running back second overall you don't know how to use? An offensive genius, an adult in the room? My ass! My fat ass!
You know, the problem's going to be is that he's going to come back next year, and who knows if he does ruin Daniel Jones.
Yes! And he's going to be a lame duck, so they're probably going to give him an extension again because we got to give adults extensions. And they're going to say, well, you know, second year, we'll figure out the offensive line. We have free agent money to spend. And these absolute turds aren't going to figure anything out, and they're going to be 4-12 again.
That's an all-timer. That's an all-timer. That's Mraz on 4 hours sleep.
He is so red right now.
That's Mraz on 4 hours sleep.
I've crushed a bacon, egg, and cheese and three cookies this morning, and I brought almond milk for Special K. And that's on you, Pat.
And the cookies,
that's on you.
The cookies were supposed to be for his second show today.
It's gone. Yeah. Gone. Like the Giants' playoff hopes every year.
So, if I may, D.A., I just had to hear that diatribe in stereo as I walked down the hallway. I heard it once, took a few more steps, got a fresh feed coming out of the Andrew Kaplan lab. Then I got down here where we have speakers, and then I could hear him through the soundproof glass. So I got a staggered, screaming Sean, and there's people everywhere outside laughing at him right now.
That's what they say, like, the 50s in New York was like listening to the World Series. You just pass by all the different brownstones, and everybody's got the World Series on in their windows.
I think that's the most angry he's ever been.
I mean, this kid can't get here fast enough to hopefully reset your priorities that you just all of a sudden care a little bit less about a football game.
Yeah, but it's so entertaining. Let's hope he never cares that much less. Pull more tail than a zookeeper. That has all types of amazing Mraz connotations to it. When we come back, our Trash Tuesday. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
A no sweatpants at work zone.
Do you hate me?
No.
It's almost like I can't help myself but purposely tick people off. I'm a sick person. There's a lot of people who hate me. Look, Minnesota, beautiful town. Great bars, great breweries, sticky people.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
There are so many ways you can listen to the show. Remember that if your affiliate doesn't carry the full 3 hours of the DA show, shame on them. But it's okay because you can listen on Sirius XM Channel 206. You can also listen on your phone, stream us for free using the radio.com app or Apple Music or the CBS Sports app where you can get sports scores and news and read your favorite columnists at CBS Sports, then also listen to CBS Sports Radio and The Da Show.
I got a strong back and a loud mouth, so give me some ammo.
Yep, you got it every single day right here on The DA Show, streaming live for free. Also, you can watch us at watchda.com. Mraz's Pat Shermer rant just a couple minutes ago was an all-timer.
How about Pat? You realize how important timeouts are, Pat.
Aaron tweets, I think I just heard Mraz's finest moment of the year, followed closely by his dog sweater rant. Be aggressive needs to be a drop used daily. Hashtag adult in the room.
My ass! My fat ass!
Kyle tweets, simply amazing. I couldn't agree more. Thank you so much for that laugh this morning after that terrible game last night.
Up till 1 a.m. getting 4 hours of sleep, pregnant wife and all, for this garbage.
Steve tweets, hands down, best takedown ever by Mraz. Love this show. Love Mraz. And yes, Mraz, I do feel bad for you. The Giants are pathetic. Hashtag cat trash.
Cliff Kingsbury acts like a 19-year-old pulling more tail than a zookeeper. And that guy knows how to run an offense.
Robin Topeka. Cliff Kingsbury getting more tail than a zookeeper. I spit out my coffee on the windshield of my car. Classic.
Is he an adult in the room?
Austin tweets, if that rant is not number one of the 12 DAs of Christmas, that list is a farce.
How about Pat? You realize how important timeouts are, Pat.
Dixieland Dan, bravo, Mraz, bravo, all-timer. My headphones just caught fire listening to that. Mraz has so much venom that's been passed down by the time Taylor is two. She's going to be screaming out rants about Saquon not hitting the hole in time.
My ass! My fat ass!
Paul tweets, holy meltdown. Mraz, unhinged. Hashtag, whose fault is that?
How about Pat? You realize how important timeouts are, Pat.
Art Bobart tweets, I'd like to do a thankful Tuesday. I'm thankful for the Giants being so terrible because we got that rant from Mraz. That was an adult-type rant. Hashtag, that's on you, Pat.
Up till 1 a.m., getting 4 hours of sleep, pregnant wife and all, for this garbage!
An all-timer. How do you feel now? A little bit better?
I feel a little relieved. My heart's racing. I shouldn't have had all those cookies.
All right, let's get to our Trash Tuesdays this morning, boys and girls.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
I'd like to start with one Andrew Bogus today as our leadoff hitter.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Mraz usually leads us off, but this guy is winded.
Yeah.
This guy right now is exhausted. I want to give him a little bit of time to
get him some electrolytes.
To reset. So.
I say a cookie, but he's already had six, so maybe pause that. Celery stalk. We'll wrap bacon around it. It'll be the same thing.
And who are you trashing?
I'm going to trash the lady on the elevator yesterday in our fine building, leaving here about 12:30. Doors open after a lengthy wait in the vestibule, and a crowded elevator opens. And I thought, let me step back and wait for the next one. But I had waited about 5 minutes for this one, so I said, you know what, let's just get on.
Mm-hmm.
So I take a step into the elevator, and there's a woman, probably, I don't know, mid-40s, early 50s, an older woman. And she's standing in a spot, and she has worked her way into like a 3-foot like circumference circle. There's no one around her. I have to step in front of her, and now I'm turning my body, contorting to get into a space that she has left for the rest of us. My backpack brushes her arm. I feel it immediately. I'm already turning to say, excuse me, getting my backpack away from her, and she goes, thank you.
Whoa.
And then, so the doors close. Somebody else gets on 3 or 4 floors down from here, has to do the same dance on the other side of her. I'm in one corner. There's a woman in the other corner here. There's people lined along the back of the elevator. Same thing on the other side. While this woman has all this space that she will not give up to the rest of us who are all now contorting ourselves, backs on the floor, bags off our backs. It was a complete disaster because she had to have space and no one could be closer to her.
What did she have in this space?
She just, I guess she just forced and guilted everyone away from her where she had this nice little buffer. Everybody else was in a corner up against the wall to give her her space.
Oh my God.
And again, for a second, I was in this little circle and a nasty thank you I got from her. So she's out.
Trasher!
That's garbage. And we're not talking about the band.
Does she work here?
She doesn't work here as in CBS / Entercom. I'm assuming she works above us somewhere because, and I've never seen her before.
Okay.
And hopefully I never see her again.
Yeah.
I'll give her a piece of my mind if I do.
Mr. Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
It's a dual trash, DA. I am trashing people at the mall who decide to hook up every piece of electronic to the outlets that are in the food court.
Okay.
And I'm also trashing myself for going to the mall.
Okay.
It is the worst place to go.
Yeah.
We have Amazon. We have all these sites to go shop.
Yeah.
I know why. Because going to the mall these days is the absolute worst.
What was the worst part of the mall trip for you?
I think just the people. It's just too many damn people in the mall.
So just the volume of people.
It's just, excess, too much excess, too many people walking around looking at their phones, not knowing where they're going. We have to follow people slowly behind them or try to go around them. It's awful. I'm not going to the mall again. All my Christmas shopping going to be done online, folks.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
But I'm also trashing these guys that want to hook up their computer, their phone, everything to an outlet while eating at the food court.
Yeah.
I went to get a sandwich and I saw this guy sitting at a big chair with a computer, with a cell phone, with a tablet, all hooked up like
it's a WeWork station.
Right. I mean, just go to the mall to decompress or just not connect to anything. I've had it. Enough with that stuff. Decompress, please.
Stinky debris.
Mall is going to be terrible for you this holiday season. Start your shopping now. Online.
I should have finished it already. Jeez.
Yeah. Let's have a meeting in my office. Where's your office? Outside the Blimpies in the food court.
All right, Mraz, we'll tee you up now. Who are you trashing?
I'm trashing. I must have an infestation of spider crickets. All right?
Spider crickets? I've never heard of those.
So these are crickets.
That's what caught your ear?
No,
not infestation?
I was expecting that.
These crickets. They're basically the size of mini tarantulas, and they call them spider crickets.
I have
all right?
them, too. It's a Long Island thing.
I don't know what's going on with these things. They're gigantic. It's like Spider-Man gets injected with the spiders. They're jumping all over the place. So anyway, they're in my basement. I'm walking around every crevice, every window, every door, everywhere with caulking. My entire basement is caulking and floor now because I don't know how these things are getting in. I don't know if somebody's giving a birth. I don't know if I got a spider cricket just out there giving birth behind a washing machine every day. But I come home from work. I go downstairs. I have my nice man cave down there. And there's like four spider crickets jumping up like they've been having a frat party all day while I'm at work. And I break out a flip-flop, and I crush them all. I kill them all. I roll them up in toilet paper. I flush the toilet. Next day, I come home. It's like more spider crickets have moved in. I can't figure it out. I'm laying down glue traps. They're not finding the glue traps. I'm a lost cause. My house is going to be me, the baby, the dog, my wife, and 16 spider crickets for the rest of my life.
Trash.
Oh, break out the hazmat suit.
Now,
I have them too.
I have so many questions.
Yeah, please.
So, being a homeowner is really treating you well.
Yes. Get me out.
Are these spider crickets dangerous?
No, not even a little bit.
And so they're just large crickets.
They don't ruin anything. They don't damage the house.
There's no venom.
They can't bite you. They are afraid of you, but they are nasty because they're like half cricket, half spider. They have these big, like V-shaped
legs.
Half cricket, half spider. And you gotta like sneak up on them. Like you gotta like slowly drop the magazine over the top and slam it down because if you miss them, they can jump like 18 inches in the air and they go bouncing away from you.
God.
Yeah, they have more ups than Jordan. It's
unbelievable.
I had one jump on me once. I lost it. I think it's still under the couch.
Yeah, it's like a Long Island thing. I don't know where they come from, but the only one that's ever worked for me, well, two things. The glue traps work, and when we first moved in, I had no joke, like the glue trap would almost be full from end to end of these things. But my exterminator guy laid this like pebbly stuff down along the interior wall of the house and then outside it as well. And I don't know if it's poison or whatever, but it's cut. I saw one the other day for the first time in weeks after literally being infestation like Sean was.
What is going on Long Island with you guys?
A lot of things.
Somebody must have took a flight home from somewhere and just brought one home and he had 15 million babies.
We have those too. In my neighborhood, there's like a chameleon thing that only exists in our neighborhood and like the Southwest because someone brought them here one time and they spawned in his house.
Gosh, it's really too bad there weren't more environmental regulations of the 70s and 80s on Long Island.
Yeah.
You guys dumped a lot of stuff out there.
Mm-hmm. I'm pouring money into anything to stop these things and they won't be stopped.
Oh my God. Well, mine pales in comparison to that. I was walking down the street today. It was a nice, bright morning, cool, crisp air. It was going to be a little warmer today in the low 50s today, so it kind of felt good to be outside. And I'm walking down the sidewalk, and this guy is outside puffing on a cancer stick. And it's so Jody Mack because he just hocks up major phlegm. He's coughing that black lung smoker's cough. But then kind of realizes, oh, I've got phlegm in my mouth, so I'm going to now hock the loogie and spit it right on the sidewalk in front of everybody passing. I'm like, this is so gross.
No.
It is your fault you've got the black lung, you're smoking. And now it's your fault you've got black phlegm hocking up, and you're just going to take it out in front of everybody like... And it was so mucusy and so wet. And I'm like, this was supposed to be such a nice walk today. And I'm like, do you get it? It's not our fault you've got the black lung, dude. It's your fault you got the black lung. And you just think it's fine. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll just hock up a giant black loogie in front of everybody. So please, let's trash him.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Also, hearing this guy, I don't know how Jody Mack has made it to his age. I don't know how old he is.
I'm going to say, what is his age?
I don't know.
If he's 24, you hear the question is solved.
But I said, boy, that's a bad habit. Tom is next up. He's in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, listening to 96.5 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Tom.
DA, I'm really getting worried about the safety of baby Mraz with Spider Crickets number one and Sean watching the Giants on Sundays. Please tell me you guys have a plan in place to help baby Mraz.
Yeah, we're going to call Child Services to have them on watch on NFL Sundays. And if he doesn't get this spider cricket, these venomous demons out of the basement here soon, believe me, we don't have to do anything. Danielle will handle everything. He will be quickly sleeping at his parents' house once again for the third time in his life.
Those spider crickets up 12-9 with the only thing slapping my hand.
Do the spider crickets challenge pass interference last night?
They were with me. They were with me. They were chirping. What's Pat doing? What's Pat doing? What's Pat doing? Ed, what's Pat doing? What's he doing? He better win this game or he's going to slap me with a flip-flop.
The spider crickets, what's Pat doing? it's a trash Tuesday, so send us your trashes. We'll read through all of your trashes coming up here on the show throughout the morning. And hour number two is going to be a dandy. We've got Jerry Rice, Pro Football Hall of Famer, perhaps the greatest football player ever, as NFL celebrates its 100th anniversary. And coming up here next, how about three-time Pro Bowl tight end Delanie Walker? An enormous hour number two straight ahead. Stick around. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.